Well, our text this evening is found in the passage that we read in Ephesians 3, in the well-known words of verse 8, where Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Every time, congregation, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, we have a most remarkable service, a cause of great wonder, a cause of great wonder to the angels who look into these things, a cause of great wonder and no doubt frustration to devils, a cause of great wonder to saints, and certainly what ought to be a cause of great wonder to us. It was certainly a cause of great wonder to the Apostle Paul. And here in this text, the Apostle exclaims three things to us that tell us about how remarkable a service the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is. First of all, in this text, Paul proclaims, "What a preacher! Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." But secondly, he exclaims, "What a congregation among the Gentiles." And then thirdly, he exclaims, "What a sermon! The unsearchable riches of Christ." A most remarkable service. First of all, what a preacher. You know, when we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of a great man. We think of an outstanding man. We think of a tremendous preacher. We think of a tremendous theologian. We think of one who has tremendous insight that has been given to him. We think of a man who passionately loved and served the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of a man who loved and served the souls of men. We think of an outstanding man. Our estimation of Paul would be that he is better than the best of all saints. And yet what Paul is saying of himself is so different, isn't it? He is saying, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints." What great humility is here. Why is this, though? Well, it's Paul. Paul always remembered what he was before grace. He always remembered what he was before grace. In another place, he says, "Before I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was a violent man, a man who hated Jesus Christ passionately, a man who hated those who loved Jesus Christ passionately, a man who hounded and arrested and threw into prison those who followed this Jesus Christ and cursed God as he did so." Something happened. Something remarkable happened to Paul. People could see it. Suddenly, this man, he's praying, they say. Now he himself is preaching the very gospel that before he was trying to destroy. What happened? Was it simply a change of mind? Was it the force of someone's persuasion? Paul sums it up this way: "I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy. God had mercy on my soul. As I was arresting others, God arrested me. One day as I was going about to find and to kill the Christians, I was thrown off my horse, and there was this light from heaven and this sound that came forth and said, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' Who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That day, Paul was changed. His sins were forgiven. That day, Paul began to see that this Jesus Christ and this gospel that he was trying to destroy was in fact the very gospel that he himself so desperately needed. Grace changed him. From the beginning, it was grace, and every day forward, it was grace. Paul learned to say, Hanani me anhega pilio hamnida. I need the grace of God. And you see how Paul goes on and he speaks unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. He is still in need of grace that I should preach. The reason I'm called to preach, Paul says, is not because I am some great speaker. It's not because I'm some great orator. It's not because I'm even a great theologian. The fundamental reason I am called to preach is the amazing grace of God. Paul never forgot what he was before grace, and he never forgot his present need of grace. My dear brother, that is the same for you, and it is the same for me. Grace has brought you to this place, but you need grace now as much as ever you have done. And the grace of God in Jesus Christ is here in a bountiful supply for you. What a preacher. But secondly, what a congregation. That I should preach among the Gentiles. Paul, you know, is primarily the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, who is a Gentile? Well, a Gentile is everyone who's not a Jew. I think the most, if not all of us, are Gentiles. We're Gentiles. What did the Jews, we ask, though? What did they think of Gentiles? Well, they said, these people, they're cursed. They don't know the law. They're wild dogs. Stay away from them. They're unclean. They may infect you. They may poison you. Stay away from them. Don't speak to them. Don't come near to them. Gentiles, what a congregation. But is this fair? Is this a true description? Well, actually, the Bible tells us that Gentiles are a lot worse than the Jews thought. The Bible speaks about Gentiles in this kind of way. Ephesians 2, verse 1, they are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Not a heartbeat of spiritual life in them. Spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. They follow the ways of Satan, the ruler of this world. They are children of wrath, even like others. They are guilty before God. And they don't even realize their danger. And so they are without God and they are without Christ. And that is the greatest danger any soul can be under. To be without God and to be without Christ means to be without hope in this life and in the world to come. Brother Young J. Lee, when you speak and preach to people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are speaking to people who have no hope in this life. Without Christ, there is no meaning to life, certainly. These people do not know how to answer the question, what is the chief end of man? These people have no idea of where they have come from, where they are going, their purpose. But they have no answer to the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And that's their greatest danger. They have no hope when they die. Without Christ, they will spend the endless ages of eternity in the place of darkness and of pain. And one of the worst things about that place is this, that there is no hope there. None. No remedy there. World without end. That's not a popular message. But people may think they have life. They may think they have purpose, and they ignore this reality. This is the congregation. What a congregation among the Gentiles. And you may feel discouraged by this. Who am I? I'm so weak. What a poor preacher you may feel yourself, and no doubt will feel yourself to be. And you may look at this people and think, but they won't listen to me, or they're not listening to me. They will ignore me. They're spiritually blind. What a congregation. Maybe you think, what good can be done? But let us thirdly then see what must also be your own great encouragement. What a sermon. What a sermon. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a sermon. Your message, my dear brother, centers on a person. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the one who is God himself, the second person of the Godhead, the one who became man, the one who suffered, and the one who took the sins of all his people. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The one who lived the perfect life, keeping the law of God perfectly. The one who died on Calvary's accursed tree. The one who shed that blood that cleanses from all sin. The one who rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven itself, and the one who tonight is sitting upon the throne of the universe, the one who will come again at the last day to judge the world in righteousness and to bring all his people from out of their graves and to meet the Lord in the air and to be forever with the Lord. That's the person. My dear friend, this is an unsearchable riches. There's no end to it. This is your sermon. There is a great Savior for great sinners. A rich Savior for poor, lost sinners. There is blood to cleanse from the deepest sin and the deepest evil. People will tell you, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. And that may very well be true, but you can say, oh, but you know my Savior? Unsearchable riches, blood to cleanse from every need. This is the name, this is the person, this is the Savior the Gentiles need. This is the Savior the Jews need too, if you meet them. This is the only Savior for Dutchmen, for Americans, for Scotsmen, for South Koreans, for North Koreans, for Chinese, because this is the only Savior for sinners. And what a Savior he is. In preaching this Christ, you have the answers to your precious congregation's questions. What is man's chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is your only comfort in life and in death? A question you will press upon their conscience. That I am not my own. That's the only answer. But belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sin and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. And so on. Preach him, brother. Preach him fully. Preach him freely. Tell people about him. Tell them about his grace. Tell them about his love. Tell them that God is commanding them to repent. Tell them that God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tell them to come to Christ. Tell them to join in this remarkable worship service that begins here but will never end. And by the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit, may many, many come and experience in their own souls, experience this, that in this remarkable service, they can now say, what a sinner, but what a Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Thank Thee, O Lord our God, for the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and pray that every gospel minister here, and that our dear brother here too, from this day forward, would preach Him more, preach Him fuller, and let nothing get in the way of us preaching Him as He is. And oh, we beg for the Spirit's blessing, so that people would see Him in His beauty and in His glory, in His sufficiency, in His authority, in all that He is. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll sing now Psalter 268. Psalter 268. We'll sing this a cappella. The organist can play up to the first or second note. 268, this is Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell. This time we'll read the form for ordination. You can find this on page number 151. Page number 151, this is the form of ordination of missionaries. It is known to you that our brother Young Jae Lee has been called by this congregation to be a minister of the word among the heathen and dispersed, and is now to be publicly ordained as missionary. We therefore request thee, beloved brother Young Jae Lee, to arise and to attend to a short declaration touching the office of missionary ministers of the word. Since our God, according to His infinite mercy, has chosen a church unto everlasting life, and gathers it by His blessed gospel out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, unto the fellowship of His Son, in unity of the true faith. Therefore our risen Savior has ordained an office and has called men to carry the message of salvation to all peoples, commanding His apostles and in them all lawful ministers of the word, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. For He that ascended far above all heavens, that He might fulfill all things, gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And the apostles, responding to this, went forth into the world, declaring the whole counsel of God, particularly repentance and remission of sins through faith in Jesus Christ, testifying, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. Without this word of reconciliation, faith in Christ and consequently salvation is and remains forever impossible. For the Holy Scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And elsewhere, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 14, 15, and 17. Although all ministers of the word have in common that to them is committed the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, the government of the church, and the maintenance of Christian discipline, yea, all that according to the word of God belongs to the office of pastor and teacher, and although from the difference of field of labor no difference is resulting concerning office, authority, or dignity, since all possess the same mission, the same office, and the same authority. Yet notwithstanding this, it is necessary that some labor in the congregations already established, while others are called and sent to preach the gospel to those without, in order to bring them to Christ. And let each man abide in that calling wherein he was called by the church of God, and consequently by God himself, and whereunto each has received gifts, until it pleases the Lord to lead him along a lawful way to a different field of labor. That unto the heathen also these glad tidings must be brought appears plainly from Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The same was revealed to Peter by showing him, as it were, a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of beasts, and thereupon commanding him to go down to the Gentile Cornelius, saying, Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Acts 10:20. Likewise he spoke to Paul in a vision in the temple, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Acts 22:21. This divine charge was also carried out by the church of Antioch when they, after fasting and prayer, laid their hands upon Barnabas and Saul and sent them away to preach the gospel also unto the Gentiles. Acts 13. And when they, on their first missionary journey, had arrived at Antioch in Pisidia, they testified to the contradicting Jews, Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Acts 13:46b-47. And besides all this, it is evident that the work of missions is the task of the church, since the Lord Jesus himself calls his church the salt of the earth and says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Matthew 5:14-15. That unto the dispersed also these glad tidings must be brought is plainly inferred from what God says in Ezekiel 34:11-16. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. That the Lord does this by means of his servants is clearly shown by the way wherein God, in the same chapter, rebukes the unfaithful shepherds. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, and expresses his holy indignation because my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Ezekiel 34, 4 and 6. The same also follows from the fact that Jesus, who himself was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, calls the church the salt of the earth, while besides all this, the example of the Apostle Paul teaches us plainly that it is our high calling to bring the bread of life to our dispersed brethren after the flesh everywhere, and therefore certainly first of all in our own country, to gather them, if possible, as congregations of our Lord. And since thou, beloved brother, art now called and art now being sent to labor among the heathen and dispersed, thou art to consider which important duties are thereby devolving upon thee. In the first place, thou art to bring to their attention by all fit and lawful means the glad tidings that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. All thine actions, thy speaking and thy silence, yea, all thine influence is to cooperate, to recommend the gospel of Christ. Let thy conversation be without covetousness. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good, that thou mayest be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9, 19, 22, and 27. Secondly, thou art holden, if it pleases God, to make thy work fruitful unto the gathering of a church, to administer the sacrament of holy baptism according to the institution of the Lord and the requirement of the covenant. Furthermore, thou art called, whatever it is necessary and possible, to ordain elders and deacons, even as Paul charged Titus, saying, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee," Titus 1:5. But lay hands hastily on no man. Moreover, there is committed unto thee, as minister of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God, the administering of the holy supper of the Lord according to the institution of Christ. Besides this, there is commended unto thee the maintaining of Christian discipline in the midst of the congregation by faithful use of the keys of the kingdom, as our Lord Jesus has spoken, "Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And afterward, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Matthew 18, 15 and 18. And finally, beloved brother, be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ and a careful shepherd of the flock. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:12b through 16. And that now everyone present may hear, beloved brother, that thou art willing and ready to undertake the ministry of the word among the heathen and dispersed, thou art requested to answer sincerely the following questions. First, I ask thee whether thou feelest in thy heart that thou art lawfully called of God's church, and therefore of God himself, to this holy ministry. Secondly, whether thou dost believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God, and the perfect doctrine unto salvation, and dost reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether thou dost promise faithfully to discharge thine office according to the same doctrine as above described, and to adorn it with a godly life, also to submit thyself, in case thou shouldest become delinquent either in life or doctrine, to ecclesiastical admonition, according to the public ordinances of the churches. What is your answer, Young J. Lee?
Yes, truly so, with all my heart, God helping me every step from the beginning to the end.
Very good. Well, at this time we will proceed to the laying on of hands by all the FRC and HRC ministers, PRTS faculty present, and any other invited ministers. If you would now come to the front.
Let all his servants tell abroad the never-failing grace of God. Let all who fear Jehovah's name, his everlasting love proclaim.
Follow me, and I will make thee a fisher of men. Matthew 4:19.
But my God shall supply in all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19.
For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I will deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 1:7-8.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:8. Go then, beloved brother, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God, our heavenly Father, who hath called thee to his holy ministry, enlighten thee with his Holy Spirit, strengthen thee with his hand, and so govern thee in thy ministry, that thou mayest decently and fruitfully walk therein, to the glory of his name and the propagation of the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll now read the formula of subscription, and I'll ask our brother Young Jay whether he agrees with this. I do hereby sincerely and in good conscience before the Lord declare by this our subscription that we heartily believe and are persuaded that all the articles and points of doctrine contained in the Belgic Confession and Heidelberg Catechism of the Reformed Churches, together with the explanation of some points of the aforesaid doctrine made by the National Synod of Dordrecht, 1618 and 19, do fully agree with the Word of God. We promise, therefore, diligently to teach and faithfully to defend the aforesaid doctrine without either directly or indirectly contradicting the same, but by our public preaching, either by our public preaching or writing. We declare, moreover, that we do not only reject all errors that militate against this doctrine, and particularly those which were condemned by the above-mentioned synod, but that we are disposed to refute and contradict these and to exert ourselves in keeping the church free from such errors, And if hereafter any difficulties or different sentiments respecting the aforesaid doctrines should arise in our minds, we promise that we will neither publicly nor privately propose, teach, or defend the same, either by preaching or writing, until we have first revealed such sentiments to the consistory, classes, and synod, that the same may be there examined, being ready always cheerfully to submit to the judgment of the consistory, classes, and synod, under the penalty, in case of refusal to be, by that very fact, suspended from our office. And further, if at any time the consistory classes or synod, upon sufficient grounds of suspicion, and to preserve the uniformity and purity of doctrine, may deem it proper to require of us a further explanation of our sentiments respecting any particular article of the Confession of Faith, the Catechism, or the explanation of the National Synod, we do hereby promise to be always willing and ready to comply with such requisition under the penalty above mentioned, reserving for ourselves, however, the right of an appeal whenever we shall believe ourselves aggrieved by the sentence of the consistory, the classes, or the synod. And until a decision is made upon such an appeal, we will acquiesce in the determination and judgment already passed. Brother Young J. Lee, if you would stand to show your subscription to this formula. Thank you. This time then we will sing to God's praise Psalter 421. 421, and we'll sing stanza 5.
Let us join our hearts in prayer together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore thee and we praise thee this night for thy wonderful gospel. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We call upon thy name this evening corporately, seeing thy goodness in granting us another servant of Jesus Christ under him to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Lord, to bless the ministry that is ahead of us, preaching the gospel unto the ends of the world and seeking out thy sheep outside the sheepfold. This is a great task that the church has to continually fulfill until Jesus Christ has to come. We pray, O Lord, for the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we see this great task bigger than what we can do on our own abilities. We are dependent upon thee, O Lord, and we ask thee, Lord, to be near unto us this night as we one more time meditate upon thy rich blessing through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We pray, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit may move amongst us this night, individually also, as we come unto thee, bringing our all prayer requests, all our diseases, and all our worries, cares unto thee. Help us, O Lord, to live out the life of Christians as Christ is given unto us. As Christ was full of the Holy Spirit, we desire to be filled freshly. Also, as for the first time, that we may truly become thy children, calling thee Abba, Father. Gracious Lord, we are so thankful for all thy blessings that we receive from thine hands. Nothing happens by chance, but by thy fatherly hands. We acknowledge, O Lord, thy goodness in receiving all the good gifts from thee. And everything good is from thee. So, Lord, receive our thanks this evening and continue to bless our service as we continue to focus on the one who came as the Savior of every sinner of this earth. Forgive our many sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'd like to bring your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament, the 60th chapter. My sermon text this evening is found in the first verse of chapter 61, but we would like to begin our reading starting at verse 18, Isaiah 60. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that it might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth springeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise spring forth before all the nations. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. In response, let us sing to God's praise, Psalter number 49. A rendition of Psalm 22, Psalter number 49. Let us turn again to our sermon text as it is found in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1a. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Dear congregation, have you been saved? Salvation is the work of God through the Holy Spirit in the sinners. You may have all different works to do. Some are here, the builders. Some are here, fixing vehicles. And some of you are still cleaning the houses. When you are at your work, you need a special ability. First of all, you need to be strong if you are going to work with your body. If you are engaged with hard physical labor, you need to be strong and healthy. And you also need special knowledge to do a certain kind of work. Even though you may be given tools to build a house, but if you don't have the right knowledge, you will fail to do the right work. The text before us this evening is about the saving ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord's help, under this theme, we'd like to consider three thoughts. First, the messenger. Second, the message. And third, the audience. In our text, we see a person anointed. In the Old Testament, anointing means to pour oil upon a person specially appointed and designated for a special work. In the Old Testament, the prophets, the kings, and the priests were anointed specially for their work. And the priests were anointed in their inaugural ceremony because they really needed the help of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11:2 says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." To be a prophet, priest, and king, these people between God and the sinners needed the Holy Spirit so much. And that outpouring of the oil upon those people was meaning that they really needed the Holy Spirit's help. And also, anointing a person with this oil means that this person is qualified, the kind of work that this person is going to fulfill. You would remember how many sons Jesse had in the Old Testament. He had 7 sons in total. But children, you would remember who was anointed out of these 7 sons of Jesse. Samuel had to wait until he find out the right person, the 7th son, which is David. So, this anointing symbolizes the qualification in that person for the work. Then, we all have a question as we read this text, verse 1a. Who is this person anointed in our text? Could this be Isaiah, the one who was called to go and preach to the people? The one who said, "Here am I, send me. I am a man of unclean lips." The one who had to be cleansed by the Lord. The one who was called by God and who still need to be touched by the hand of the Lord. Isaiah was the one who was proclaiming the coming judgment in the 8th century in BC. Because these chosen people of God were backsliding and abandoning the commandment of God, and the wrath of God was coming, and Isaiah had to proclaim boldly against these people. But at the same time, he had the message of hope. The first 39 chapters was focused on the punishment of God's people. But the rest of the book was focused upon the hope and restoration through the Messiah, the suffering Savior. From this context, we also see that Isaiah was not focusing upon himself, but he was putting the spotlight upon this suffering servant, the Messiah, the anointed one, Christ. Literally, Messiah means the anointed one. And in Greek also, Christ means the anointed one. The context is also sure of that this is about salvation. Not a man can do, but only the heavenly man can do. Everlasting covenant, everlasting light, everlasting joy. The context clearly lays out this is about Christ. Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Spirit. From the beginning of his life, we see how he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit upon the womb of Mary. He was born of Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And his life from the beginning to the end was full of the Holy Spirit. No mere man can be more suitable for this salvation ministry than this one, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Beloved, tonight I would like to ask you if you have a personal relationship with this Christ, the messenger who brought with him the great news. You would know what it is like to have a personal relationship with somebody living. There is nothing like it in this world to there's nothing like to have a personal relationship. In that relationship, you are loved, and you can give your love, and you mutually, personally grow in that relationship. And only those who have those relationships know what it is like to have it in the bosom of your heart. This Jesus Christ, the messenger who was full of the Holy Spirit, is a living person. And you are called to have a relationship with him, Jesus Christ. In 2 weeks' time, we are going to celebrate another Christmas, Lord willing. And we would anticipate of meeting with friends and family members. We would exchange cards and we would renew our relationship with each other in that joyful occasion. And we also have in that occasion a very strong thankfulness because of Jesus Christ, especially when we think of the message that he brought with him into the world. So our second point is the message. The Bible is about Christ. The Old Testament is pointing to the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. And the New Testament is pointing to Jesus Christ who has already came into the world. how he was born and what he did on earth and what he left behind as he was going up to be throned in heaven. And Jesus came and lived among the sinners. And Jesus began his public ministry with the same words that we read this evening, verse 1a. In the New Testament, the gospel recorder Luke uses slightly different words, but basically, in essence, they are the same. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me." And this gospel is news. This gospel is for all different kinds of people. I remember those days when people were greatly looking forward to finding out news in the morning or evening. Those days, people didn't have the very advanced technology in their fingertips, so they had to wait either in the morning or evening to receive the newspapers. But whether it is in those days or nowadays, what I'm concerned is about the content of the news rather than the fastness and the technology of how to get those news. Every time we wake up from sleep and find out those crimes that happened last night, every time we open our tablet PCs or check our phones, we find out those languages about conspiracies and crimes. Another one was victimized and abused. And another event happened in the darkness, and the news focuses on those bad and depressing news. But look at the news announcement in our text. It's not another depressing and bad and dark news, but it is good news. Good tidings that the heavenly messenger carried with him to give unto the poor, the meek, and the captives, and the brokenhearted. In this world, we almost expect bad news because the broken world produces only broken news. But this time, this messenger is from heaven, and the news is and must be different. It is not another bad news that depresses the people, but it is glad and good tidings. Those days, the gospel was meant that the Israelites would be restored as the Messiah was coming, and the nation of Israel would be rebuilt with the help of this Messiah. And nowadays, the same gospel reaches unto us through the Anointed One. And the news is that the sinners can be saved. The sinners now do not have to rely on their own works. Jesus Christ has done all the works for the sinners. And all the sinners have to do is to look unto Him so that they may be saved. It is free indeed, and it is already done, so nothing can be done anymore. Jesus Christ paid the full price for the sinners. Dear congregation, how do you respond to this message? Are you still clinging to your own ways to save yourselves? Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, God says. Don't look at yourself anymore. There is no measure of salvation within you. If you continue to look unto yourself, listen to this. Cursed is everyone who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. It is the same. There is no other way to be saved but to receive this gospel message from the Anointed One. And lastly, we would like to see unto whom this messenger bringing this news, that is the audience. Who are the audience? Let us read once again our sermon text. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The text is very clear about the audience. The audience is the meek people. Actually, Isaiah is alternatively using the word the meek with the poor. And also, our gospel recorder Luke is interpreting it as the poor. And we see the meek as the same word meaning the poor. And this gospel message is for the poor people. The poor in this world are ignored. The poor in this world greatly suffer much more than the richer. The poor are those who are abused and neglected just because they don't have much possessions. They are just looked down on by the people. The richer become the richer in this world, but the poor becomes the poorer. Somehow we cannot understand, we cannot explain all, but that's the reality we face, and it's harsher than we may expect. These are suffering by the hands of the wicked and rich people. But it is not only those poor people who need this gospel, because still we see many rich people are suffering from other things. They are the brokenhearted. They are those captives by the possessions of this world. They may stretch themselves to gain every single dollar. They work hard on and on to reach a certain fame and height in the world. They reach a certain amount of worldly possessions, and they are driven by this on and on until the last day and last minute of their death, the last day of their life in this world. They are frozen and captive, and then they are the prisoners of this world. And they are broken in their family relationships sometimes because they pursued those things with their lives. So some of you may wrongly conclude that I may not need this good tidings because I'm not as poor as some of those other people that I see. But that's wrong. Every single person is born as a poor man and woman. If there is anybody who is not poor, that must be Jesus Christ, who came into the world to bring this glad and great news unto the people, so that he could make these poor men and women rich toward God. The more people may try to gain more possession, the emptier they will get. There is a hole in their heart that they cannot fill with whatever things they may get of this world. This was again and again witnessed by different saints of this world. Augustine did, and many Christian philosophers did. And even nowadays, we see the same thing. And I just want to quote one sentence by Blaise Pascal, the Christian philosopher and theologian. He says, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God. The Creator made known through Jesus Christ." My unbelieving friends, tonight, I want to challenge you, asking you whether you have met Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one only who can give salvation, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby man must be saved. Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, has already came into the world to save sinners like you and me. If there is anybody who thinks he is poor, who thinks he needs somebody who can save him, here is the person, Jesus Christ, for you. Jesus Christ did not have some of those most convenient and nice things of this world. He did not live in a rich big mansion. He did not wear the best clothes on those days. He lived a poor life, but his life was filled with the Holy Spirit from the beginning to the end. He came to make sinners rich toward God. The broken relationships can now be healed through him. The broken heart could now be comforted by him. That's how you can become rich in Christ toward God. Will you spurn God's love once again tonight? He that spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he freely give us all things in Christ? Dear children of God, you also are called to partake of the same anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit came upon Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, the name Christ, you are also partaking of this anointing because you are Christians. You are called to live out the life of the priest, prophet, and king in your family and your neighbor. And how much we need the fresh and continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. This is the Messiah's saving ministry. On this meaningful day, we once again come together this night to God for his continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our own salvation and the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit for the salvation of others whom the Lord placed in our care through the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we are here before thee as beggars. We need thy Holy Spirit. We need thy grace. We need to be anointed freshly from above through the Holy Spirit. Will thou be graciously answering our prayers tonight? Let thy Holy Spirit move in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, and in our neighbors. We ask these unto him who is able to give exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our doxology is Psalter 315. Please rise and receive the blessings of the Lord. May the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Savior, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You may be seated. Our dear brother pastor, Young Jay Lee. Dear Lee family, thank you so much for joining us this evening from far. I mean, Kyun, Yuha, Doha, and Joel, we are so thankful for tonight. Our hearts are full of joy as we see God's hands and as we receive from Calvary, from the Lord Jesus Christ, another messenger of the good tidings of salvation. For our congregation, this is also a very special day. About 80 years ago or so, our church was instituted with the help of the New Jersey congregation, with whom we are now partnering in your work in the New York area. Also, about 60 years ago, this congregation sent two missionaries to Europe, to the Spain area, and then on through Greece and Italy in the Mediterranean region. And our church has loved missions, and now 60 years later, we are able to, by God's grace, see you sent forth to your people to bring the everlasting tidings of salvation. We are so joyful. We want to thank you also for all that you have done over these years together. Young Jay and Ming Kyun and your family have meant so much to us. Thank you very much for your fragrant presence with us. In a way, we hate to see you go, but you are going to the front lines to do the Lord's work. And we commit to praying for you as your sending church. We are with you in spirit and in prayer, praying that the Lord would uphold you by his grace, that he would teach you every day, that he would preserve you unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or when he takes you home to himself. May he help you every day. Know yourself bound to us and to our prayers by God's grace. And I want to leave you just here very briefly with four words. If ever in the future you wonder in one of these bouts that can afflict the servants of God when they wonder what they are doing, there are four words that I hope you will hold before you at such a time like that and throughout your days. Four words from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. We preach Christ crucified. Be a Christ preacher all your days. Never deviate from that. That is what you are on the earth for from now on. Together with your other responsibilities, we preach Christ crucified. And so you are to love him, to love Christ and him crucified. You are to preach Christ and him crucified as you did this evening. But use your best thoughts and your best words and your best times to preach Christ and him crucified. Love Christ crucified, preach Christ crucified, and follow Christ crucified wherever he would have you go. Whatever trial, whatever affliction, whatever difficulty, the crucified master has a crucified people, but they follow behind him. And after the cross comes the crown. Love this Christ, preach him, and follow him all your days. We love you in the Lord so very much. God go with you and be with you. And dear Lee family, parents of Young Jay, we are so thankful for all that you did for your son all these many years and how you are here present all the way from South Korea. We are so thankful. We wish to honor you and we bless you in God's name. May the Lord be with you all your days. Amen.
Well, what a happy night. And I express our wholehearted congratulations and best wishes, Young Jae, to you and to your wife, MK, and your family and your children on this special occasion. We are just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And we express it to you on behalf of the Heritage Reformed Churches and also the Puritan Reformed Seminary. You've almost become a fixture in our seminary, 7.5 years. So we're going to miss you. And we pray that God will bless you abundantly. Nearly 25 years ago, I was sitting in a basement in Ontario with people from a church there and our own church, and we were forced to start a new denomination. They had no other choice. It was a sad time, but it was also a time of hope. And at that meeting, we made the decision, with God's help, to begin a seminary. And the question arose after the vote went through, what shall we name it? And no one had ever given it a thought. And one of the elders said, we should name it Heritage Netherlands Reformed Theological Seminary. And I said, No, we don't want this to be a denominational seminary. We want this seminary to go to the ends of the earth. And then they said to me, well, then, what do you want to name it? I said, I don't know. I mean, we want it to be reformed. We want the solid reformed heritage. We want it to be godly like the Puritans. I said, I don't know. Maybe Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Oh, they said, that's a good name. Let's take that name. All in agreement? All in agreement. We didn't even think about it for more than 1 minute. It just happened. Well, at that moment, you see, what we were thinking about was that the seminary would go to the ends of the earth, that people like you would be trained and go back to Korea. But Reverend McLeod read tonight that he does abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think. It never entered our mind in that time that a Korean would become a minister in one of the two churches that would represent the seminary, the two denominations. You see, God does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so today, when I see you ordained, Young Jae, I could just cry for joy. What God does in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as you go out, you will always remember, yes, this sending church, but you must also remember the seminary will be praying for you. And the Heritage Reformed Churches will be praying for you. And we are all wishing you Godspeed as you uphold the unsearchable riches, as you heard tonight, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to leave you just with this text and just two or three very quick thoughts. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Young Jae, this is God's triple gift for true ministers. It's the gift of ministry. That's number one. We have this ministry. Tonight, you have officially received this ministry. That's a gift. It's a gift God has given to you. It's a gift you don't deserve, just like we heard about Paul. But it's also a gift to the church. Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, said, a minister of the gospel is the second greatest New Testament gift God has given to the church. The first is the Holy Spirit that you've spoken of tonight. But you are the second gift. So The ministry is a gift to you, but you are also a gift to the church. And I pray that you may realize that humbly, and so do your work seriously, looking to the Lord. You've always been very serious. 7.5 years in our seminary, you've been respectful, you've been serious, you've been very sincere. And I pray that God will use those gifts in the ministry to honor his own ministry. But secondly, God gives his ministers not only the gift of ministry, but the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Mercy is his compassion when we're in need. And God will give you that compassion. Actually, in the Greek, it says, as we have been mercied. We've been mercied. You've been mercied in your past when God stopped you and saved you. You've been mercied through 7 years of theological training. He's upheld you. And now you're going to be mercied as you go out to the New Jersey, New York area. Despite all the troubles of ministry and all the disappointments, and there will be disappointments, but he will mercy you. And so you cling to that. God will mercy me. And because he mercies you, you receive a third gift as a true minister of the gospel, the gift of perseverance. We faint not. So the gift of ministry, the gift of mercy, the gift of perseverance. And young Jay, God has given you something of that gift, or you wouldn't have made it through 7.5 years of training. He enabled you to persevere. Now, in the ministry, you have to go and do the same thing. By the grace of God, you will persevere by clinging to God, waiting on God. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Cast the bread of the gospel upon the waters, and you will find it, the fruit. Not tomorrow, it doesn't say, or today, it says after many days. So you're used to waiting many days for this moment. You waited many, many days. You may have to wait many days before you'll see the gospel break through, but persevere. Keep bringing the gospel. In good times, in bad times, in season, out of season, press on, and God will bring the fruit. He will give his triple gift to you of ministry, of mercy, and of perseverance. May God bless you. Bless your family and bless your precious children as well. And that means for you too, MK, that you need to persevere with your husband. Hold him up. Keep on keeping on. Even when the times seem dark, don't faint. The Lord will carry you through. God bless you.
I am Han Song Choi, an ordained pastor of the General Assembly of Presbyterian Church in Korea, which is the so-called Habdong denomination in Korea. I am very grateful for the invitation to attend this ordination service of Mr. Young Jae Lee as a home missionary minister. I understand that I am asked to give an address to Pastor Lee and to the congregation on behalf of Korean brothers and sisters in Christ. Since I am the last speaker tonight, I just want to add a few more words. My dear brother, Pastor Lee, I was thinking these past couple of weeks about this ordination service and your future ministry and what I would say to you and to the congregation. And my mind was drawn to the memory about the first time we had met each other. It was about 6 years ago when I just came over to the United States here in Grand Rapids. We first met through our mutual friend, a former PRTS seminarian, Myungsu Sa. At that time, you humbly told me about your call from God to ministry, your faith journey to the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, and here, the Free Reformed Church of Grand Rapids. And I remember we talked with each other about God's amazing grace and his indescribable providence in our lives, through which our precious Lord Jesus led us here to Grand Rapids, a place we had not known or heard of either. In anxiety, we shared our mutual understanding of the uncertainty of our future. But with joy and gratitude, we also shared our hope about what God has in store for us and what he will show in the future. And we see, here we are. God has done so much great things for you for past 5 and 6 years, 7.5 years. So I first want to praise God and his faithfulness to you in your faith journey and his never failing will in your life. Just amazing. Now, I want to bring to you and to the congregation a text from the book of Genesis, the very text that Pastor Lee, you included in the invitation word sent to me. It is Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. My brother, you added your prayer at the end of this invitation based on this verse as follows. May our God be glorified in all the nations as Christ is preached unto the ends of the world. Dear brother, I know your life story of obedience to God's calling from Korea through South Africa to here in Grand Rapids. And I have watched you growing as a student, as an individual, and as a servant of our merciful Lord. So when I saw this verse in the invitation, I could see this describes exactly whom God has called you to be and what you are called to do. In spite of your unworthiness as a sinner before the holiness of our God, our gracious Lord called you as a home missionary minister. He called you so that you shall be a blessing to all the families and to all the nations in a land that God will lead you to. You have walked the path of uncertainty, a path that nobody has never taken before. Only by holding to God's promise given to his people. And again, you will take another unknown path God has shown in your life. But my brother, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. So I sincerely pray for God's overflowing grace and blessing in your life and your ministry, that your life as a man before God and your life as a husband with your dear wife and your life as a father to these precious sons, you as a friend to your neighbors, you as a shepherd of the flock God will allow you to take care of, and you as a home missionary to those souls God will bring into your ministry, to everyone whom you will meet and have in your life, you shall be a blessing God has graciously provided for them. And now, dear congregation of the Free Reformed Church of Grand Rapids, I rejoice with you that the Lord has directed you this way, the way for Pastor Youngjae Lee to take up the call extended to him by your congregation. I believe that Pastor Lee's calling to serve your congregation as a home missionary is the result of God's rich mercy and hearing and answering of our prayer for the extension of God's kingdom to an unreached area. And I understand that this ordination resulted from a historically significant decision made by your congregation. In this sense, I believe that Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 is not only for Pastor Lee, because it is not only Pastor Lee who took the path in submission to God's will that no one has taken before. You, the congregation of Free Reformed Church of Grand Rapids, also joined in God's calling to minister in a land that no one has ever tried to go to. People may wonder where this journey is heading and where this journey would end up, because no one has ever been there. But by the abundant grace of our merciful God and with the faithful obedience to what the Lord has commissioned His church to do, you made a solemn decision to join in God's calling of Pastor Lee to the ministry of a home missionary. So, this is my prayer. Our gracious Lord richly blesses him and his ministry as a home missionary minister. May the Holy Spirit continue to open the mind of your congregation to obey the great commission of the gospel preaching to all nations as our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed to his church. I pray that this decision made by your congregation shall be a blessing to those lost souls in New Jersey and New York area through Pastor Lee's ministry, and to your congregation as well. As I humbly witness the unsearchable riches of God's providence being reflected and manifested in this unforgettable ordination service of Pastor Lee, I earnestly look forward with a prayerful expectation to see what the Lord has prepared, both for you as missionary and for you as sending congregation. May God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you so much for coming today to attend this evening service. I especially thank the speakers tonight who spoke very appropriate and necessary words for this occasion. Dr. Jerry Bilkus and Dr. Biki, and also Pastor Hansung Che. And thank you so much for your words, and I desire to remember those in the coming months and years, if the Lord willing. Also, I would like to thank the congregations that extended their letters to me regarding this occasion, and Hope Powassan Free Reform Congregation, St. Thomas Free Reformed Church, and Oxford County Free Reformed Church,
and also Brantford Reformed Church. They all sent me official letter regarding this occasion. And I also acknowledge the letters I received personally from ministers of our federation, Reverend Pronk, Reverend Hans Overdun, Reverend Joel Overdun. And I thank their personal letters giving me charge and prayers for this occasion. And I also thank the pastors outside our federation, Reverend Johnny Serafini, who sent his personal letter regarding this. Also, I remember Pastor Roksu No, who is laboring in Madagascar as a missionary sent by Korea, and many others, ministers, who expressed their desires to come but who couldn't come here tonight. And I sincerely thank my family members here, my mom and dad from Korea, and my wife and three children. Thank you so much for being patient with me through all the training period, and thank you for supporting me and loving me in those somewhat difficult situations prolonged. But I really thank the congregation here who voted twice for the same matter for this ministry, and there was no change at all regarding the unity expressed by it and confidence with it. And I really thank you for your generosity of watching me and helping me and guiding me and caring for me, even though I am very different from you, actually, in many ways. And I also thank those anonymous members here who have been praying for this ministry so urgently and passionately, those who are devoted to the cause of the gospel. And I thank you so much. I thank the ministers of this congregation. 7.5 years we were blessed by the pulpit ministry here. The gospel was loud and clear to reach out every single kind of people of the world. Minister Dr. Lawrence William Belkus and Dr. David Murray, also Pastor McLeod, for his excellent ministry here. And finally and lastly, I thank God for giving me this great calling and these great gifts, as Dr. Vicky shared with me just now. And so we would like to conclude our evening by singing the Korean doxology, Manboge Gunon Hananim. Allow me to speak a little brief words in Korean, please. 감사합니다. 오늘 바쁘신데도 이렇게 시간을 내주셔서 또 함께 예배에 참석해 주시고 또 하나님의 은혜를 같이 목도할 수 있는 시간을 갖게 되어서 영광스럽게 생각합니다. 감당하시는 사역과 그리고 귀한 가정 위에 하나님의 은혜가 늘 함께 있으시기를 기도합니다. Let us sing to God's praise Korean doxology, 만복의 근원 하나님. And then we will be dismissed after that.